It is Monday, August the 1st, 2022. How are you? How did you treat the month of July? And how did it treat you too? My name is Enoch Ogbeviri. Clear skies, but the forecast says it will rain sometime during the day. So some of the big news from the weekend. Presidential primary aftermath. Weekend meets with some PDP governors. Others, again, suspected bandits strike. The ambush and kill a traditional ruler and his son in Taraba. The ABC senator is decrying worsening insecurity, asking NSA to resign. On the other hand, we have Sarah telling the president, you have 48 hours to withdraw threat to sanction BBC and Daily Trust. There's that documentary that was done showing how BBC I reporter was able to get to the terrorists, see what they're doing, and, you know, had several conversations with them. And that hasn't sat well with the federal government. They're still talking Muslim ticket, you know. Several people are speaking about it. And then, oh yeah, Senator Magnus Abe got the SDP governorship candidate ticket over the weekend. And some people are still asking what's going on. But the last date for withdrawal of by candidates and replacement of withdrawn candidates by political parties will happen between July the 15th and August the 12th. So we still have 12 days on the calendar for them to do so. That's according to INEC. Then submission of replacement nomination forms will happen between August the 8th to August the 18th to do that. So a lot of things will still happen in the coming days. So between now and the 18th, you'll still see some replacements, some withdrawals and all that. And maybe your favorite person who you've been rooting for will finally get to secure a seat and hopefully secure the seat at the table after the elections. 2023 election is going to be phenomenal. People are going to be shocked in ways that many people did not imagine. But I imagine that you got your PVC registration done. Yeah, we're able to register for your card. And for those who already have registered, were you able to go get your card? Those that registered last year, I believe, are supposed to get their cards already. So go to an INEC office near you in the local government where you registered to go get your PVC. We hear that a lot of young people could not get their registration done. And I don't know. People are still calling for INEC to, again, extend. I know Sarah took INEC to court. I'm not sure what happened with that matter, though, but it ended on the 31st, as it is. If anything else is going to happen, we're yet to see. And the police, saying that skit makers and those who portray the police in a bad light when they are doing skits will be punished. Okay, so you want to ask, are they showing a police force that is alien to Nigerians, or are they amplifying the police force that Nigerians know and want to do better? Okay, but we move, because the Olu of Wari, Ogyame Atuashe, I'm not sure what number he is now. The third. All right. Ogyame Atuashe, the third. The Olu of Wari was on Channel TV current affairs program Newsnight. And he has linked youth unemployment to the current security challenges facing Nigeria. And he says it is a ticking time bomb. He says it's even worse than a time bomb. For those who may not know, the figure is around 32%. We have a very young population. He says they have energy and they have time. If we're not using their energy and their time in a productive direction, then you can be sure it will be used in a counterproductive direction. It's just simple logic, he says. It says, of course, it's not unique to Nigeria, but we have, as a nation, to embrace any and every creative measure once again within the legal framework that engages young men and women.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
My name is Anogwevere. Thank you for joining the conversation. 15 minutes gone past 8 o'clock. Employment rate in Nigeria averaged 83.6% from 2014 till 2020, reaching an all-time high of 93.6% in the fourth quarter of 2014, a record low of 66.70 in the fourth quarter of 2020. In 2022, the unemployment rate in Nigeria is estimated to reach 33%. It was projected from the 32.5% in 2021. What it is that approximately 60 million people in Nigeria were employed, as according to the estimates. That's an increase from 58. So they're saying that 2 million people got jobs in 2020. So according to the National Bureau of Statistics, unemployment among Nigerian youths, that's those between 15 and 34, is the highest in the country, with 21.72 million or 42.5% of 29.94 young Nigerians in labor force are unemployed. So as it is, unemployment rate nationally is 33.3%. Imo has the highest of 56.64. The last time I checked, Rivers was among the top three. I'm not sure what it is now. But that's what the figure says. And this is what the Oluwafori, traditional ruler, has said. We'll talk about this with a business analyst, Tunde Bello, who joins me via the phone. He warned that if steps are not taken to tackle the rising unemployment among youths, the unemployment rates could hit 40%. So we have unemployment. And for those who may know, education is the key to unlocking the doors of employment. So we have in the formal education sector, the public universities, we have students being at home for over 5 months now. In 13 days, it will be 6 months since schools have been closed, universities, federal universities in Nigeria. So we have those, and some of them now have two or three sets. I mean, by the time they resume, they will have three sets in 100 level, I don't know, about 200 and 300. And those who should have left school two years ago are still stuck there because of this matter. Good morning to Nebelo. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Eno.
How are you?
Very, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So you saw the document by the Oluwafori saying that unemployment is worse than a time bomb waiting to explode. Do you agree?
Yes, I do agree with him. Because the normal saying that an evil mind is the devil's workshop. So basically, so if we're looking at that cliche, I think that sums it up with what like I said. So I think I agree with him.
But a lot of people today a lot of people would say that it's not peculiar to Nigeria. So why is Nigeria's situation described as a ticking time bomb?
Well, because ours is quite peculiar in the sense that we're not a productive nation, or I say we're a producing nation. So it just worsens the situation because we are growing at a rate that is beyond our capacity to maintain and to feed and to take care of ourselves. So it's really, really peculiar and sadly.
So what are these? What are the factors that are standing against Nigeria being a producing nation? You talked about population now. Population is rising, but you say that the other things that make life livable, nothing is going on there. So what are those factors that is making it impossible for us as a country to make use of the productive age of the population and to get production going?
Okay, I think basically it is historical. Unfortunately, we're not the planning people. We don't seem to use history or past statistics and trend to predict our future. This is not the first time we are facing this kind of situation. As far back as 1985, as far back as 1989, as far back as 1997, 1998, we've seen so many trends that are show us that we are going to come to this system, but we didn't use it. So, for example, we refused to change when every nation was changing from MUMA or the CIFA issue and all of that. We did not react. We did not take actions towards changing the narrative. Also to look at what can we do differently, because what we were producing, what we were thriving on, in quotes, what we were priding ourselves in as of that time, was our crude oil. And then later on, it became a product that is no more in use generally, or was not going to be in use generally in the later years that we are now seeing ourselves. So we find ourselves to be at the receiving end. The people that are buying from us, they found out it's toxic, and they decided to go local, looking at their local problems and producing local solutions to solve their own problems, while we were relying on the fact to continue to have their own problems that we will continue to gain from. India, look at Russia, look at US, look at countries like Norway, Finland, people that we think, okay, every time that they need gas or they need oil, that they need to power their industry, they will come to us. But unfortunately, they're coming to us again. And I think that's why we became the nation that we are now, because we did not take a proactive measure as a then that we were thriving. That's how we found ourselves in this place.
Yeah, but we have other countries who have oil, like we do, and they seem to be doing well. I was reading something about Saudi Arabia building a $1 trillion city or something like that, a high skyscraper. So what's the difference between those people and us? I know that, yeah, they might have their own refineries, but is that all it is to what it is?
No, if you look at those countries, we seem to only know about their oil-producing capacity. But they moved on, you know, they move on to something else. They move on in technology. They move on into, excuse me, developing agricultural produce that can satisfy them locally. You see, Nigeria has a very huge population. Now, look at demand for even food. Basic, even staple food. We're not meeting local demand. Mm-hmm. We have an internal problem in terms of structure. For example, let's take River State, for example. If you look at some areas like, say, Eche, Ogoni, I don't know, let's just take those two areas, for example. These are areas that food is being produced, you know, at a very high rate, even though I've not been able to see government involvement, you know, maybe a very structured government involvement in all of this thing. Now, these areas are supposed to be empowered, enabled, and encouraged. You know, if you're going to meet the yearning needs of food demand in the state, for example, you must go to where you have land and you can produce. Mm. But this is the same thing that is happening in Nigeria as a nation, you know, nationwide. We have a particular place where we are producing food. Unfortunately, we cannot get food out of such places anymore. So it means that we will continue to strive to get what we need, even from outside. And if we are going to get that from outside, it means we have to make more money to get fewer goods. And because our currency is not a price that is acceptable worldwide for trading. So you have to gather more of your money, a few of other currency or other countries' currency, to get what they can give you to satisfy your local needs. And if you're buying foreign to satisfy local needs, then your balance of trade is going to be negative every time you do that. And that is one of the problems that Nigeria is facing. So for countries like Saudi Arabia, Angola, and countries that you just mentioned, what they did was that they look at their foreign earnings, they look at their local consumption needs, and they met it locally.
All right.
So they are not coming from you. So it's a problem that Nigeria needs to solve.
All right, Tunde Bello, please stay on the line. The commercial has to play now. Some commercials, and then we'll reconnect. My name is Anok Beviri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
It's 8:30. It's Monday, 1st of August, 2022. Youth unemployment is worse than a time bomb, says Oluwafuori Ogemi Atuwase III. He was speaking on Channel TV, and he said, we have a very young population, young men and women that have energy. If they're not using their time and energy in a productive direction, then you can be sure it's going to be in a counterproductive direction. Tunde Bello, business analyst, joins me via the phone. Thank you for joining me again, Tunde. So before the commercial, you talked about the population. We have an overpopulation problem. Perhaps it's a problem because it's not being, you know, converted to economic power. You talked about the issue of planning. Not using statistics to plan as well, dependence on oil. But Tunde, over the years, we've heard the word diversify. What happened?
I think we have a short memory as a nation, like I said before. And even if you look at the current situation around ourselves, look at the issue of Naira and the dollar, of the exchange rate and the huge difference. You will listen to the managers of the economy, as they, as I want to call them, people who are managing our affairs in terms of the economy, and listen to what they are saying. This is, I remember we had Vision 2020, we had Vision 2022, we had a lot of visions. In 2015, we had the National Economic Revitalization Program or whatever it was. And then in 2019, we had another one. We had the other plan. And in all of those documents, in all of those speeches, in all of those assertions, you will hear Nigeria diversifying. Nigeria diversifying. We will not rely on oil anymore. And then you look at past 20 years, all of our projects, what are the indices we are using to prepare our budgets, to prepare our population? It has to do with oil. Everything has to do with oil. And then when it comes to the issue of non-oil revenues, then we strictly look at the issue of taxes. Now, the problem with Nigeria is that we are quick to forget where we're coming from. And immediately we have a little light in the tunnel, or maybe now I hear that oil per barrel is now $120. The next thing is everybody goes back to sleep mode, and then we come back again, and then we explain it. But the problem is we are not tracking our coverage, we're tracking our problem. If we're talking about diversification, we hear that we're going into agriculture. Agriculture has a lot of value chain that we are not taking care of, that we're not even taking note. Now, I've always said that the people we are churning out every year are graduates, and that we are putting them into NYSE program. What exactly is our objective? Now, it's going to be emotional. Somebody will say, this is where everybody goes to know about the North, know about the West, know about the East. Well, see, you can know about anywhere by just Googling about the place, by just asking questions, by just putting a call through. It is not until you go to that place. We need to put these people, these youth that are graduating every year and serving the nation in quotes. We need to put them into productive activity. For example, if the blood statistics that come out and say we have 17 million SMEs, that is 17 million Nigerians have a registered business, 17 million. So what can we do with that? statistics. What are they doing? What exactly is the nature of the 17 million businesses that we have on paper? So we begin to look at it. If you put 2 persons each that you're paying, how much are they paying them now? 30,000 naira every month. If you put 2 persons that is earning 30,000 naira, that is 360,000 times 2, 720,000 naira for 2 persons times 17 million. You can see that, okay, the unemployment we're talking about, we're taking 34 million people. If actually, we have 17 million SMEs that are registered. So if I have a business that I'm doing, and I see the business is into printing, for example, or the business is into cleaning or sweeping, and then I have 2 people that are working with me, that is 3 people that are engaging me for at least 1 year, who are going to learn the trade, who are going to be productive, who are going to be ready for a better job. And we need to also look at the issue of what is work. Unfortunately for us, if you look at what COVID did for us, we did not also manage the lessons that we learned from COVID. Since 2019, since March 2020, we see that the direction of work has changed. The direction of employment has changed. Most Nigerians now work, but they are not captured in the statistics of the nation. Most Nigerians now work remotely, but they are not captured. So, but then, because we are not also tracking their earnings to manage the taxes that is called that can come from such earnings. Mm. So we are a poor nation continuously because we cannot manage even our own affairs in terms of statistics and a jump of the result that they are getting. So in terms of agriculture, the security issue has also affected them. So we cannot adequately secure what we produce. We cannot completely produce to consumption place. People who are not producing cannot produce anymore because of insecurity. The few that are producing, they cannot transport it anymore because of bad roads. And the few that comes to us are spoiled before they got to us because of the long time that it takes to bring them from one end to another end. Mm. So generally speaking, so the issue of Nigeria is the issue of a nation that needs to sit down and look at its peculiar problem and prefer local solution to that peculiar problem. You cannot be importing foreign solutions to track our local problems. Nigeria is a peculiar nation. One, we have untracked information. We have a large number of people who don't even know they exist. It is only what we want to do. Maybe electioneering is coming, then you start seeing people going to villages and start talking to people. And what do those people will do is just to collect the money that they are offering them. And then we vote, and then we continue again for the next 4 years or 8 years as it were. So if we're talking about diversification, it has to be a conscious effort towards what? Is it agriculture? Is it human capacity? If you look at it from the statistics that is being shown out, you see that every year, almost 1 million Nigerians travel out of the country and never to return. Every year, almost 1 million Nigerians travel out of the country. And the people that are traveling out of the country are people who are employable, people who are skillful, not just anybody, but people who are skillful. So every time 1 million people go out of your country, you have a skill set gap where you have to feel. And how do you feel it? By producing people, graduates who are really, really prepared for the future. But unfortunately, for the past 6 months, the same graduates that we want to use to fill the skill gap are some.
Majority of
them are some. So this is a complex problem that we need to solve one after the other. It's not enough for anybody to come up and say, I am going to provide employment. If you cannot answer the question of how, if you cannot answer the question of is on work, you cannot answer the question of from where and how many people are you providing and what will it cost, because they're not providing any money. We don't have money to pay. So every time we even borrow, we borrow to pay an aging workforce because we can't even afford to pay the people that are retiring. And then the people, if you go to Ministry of Education, for example, go to Ministry of Agriculture, what should you expect if you come to the front desk of the Ministry of Agriculture? What information do you expect to get? Who do you expect to see there? You just basically see people who sit down 9 to 4 or 9 to 3 and get paid at the end of the month. We're not doing anything. We're not producing. We're just gallivanting. We're just moving around. And before you know it, it's another 4 years. And if no nation survives doing what we are currently doing, nation survives doing what we are currently doing. It's not about emotions. It's not about where you come from. It's not about what this person is to me. It's about actually looking at our problems face to face and then sit down to proper solution. And one of the solutions is look at the people that we are producing every year at graduates.
Okay.
Where are we putting them? What are we providing for them to work on? And Nigeria is so blessed with particularly the agriculture. And I'll tell you, if you look at logistics, if you look at warehousing, if you look at technology, if you look at training, if you look at off-taking, if you look at export, if you look at import, harvesting, seedling, all of these are value chains of agriculture. It is not even food that we produce. It has to even do with the policy documentation. It has to do with that framework. People are there who can do all of these things, but we're not doing it.
All right. So how do we link this now to insecurity? Because many times when you talk about unemployment, many political office holders are very quick to be silent on the insecurity part of it. How do we link these large numbers to insecurity?
I want to believe that we are not employed as a bandit. I think we need to be very, very careful with the kind of relations we are having in terms of our conversation. I mean, are you saying that all of the graduates of 2021 are joining banditry? No. The bandits are there. These are people who have a different core belief system. These are people who have a different value system. These are people who have a different demand. They are just a selected few, either foreigners or within, that want something. And they are also, in a way, surviving based on the means which they are facing. But if you're looking at our insecurity issue started as a result of us treating bad people, criminals, with levity. That's basically what it is.
Yeah, but Tunde, again, the criminals are not, they're not your age, they're not my age. They put it at much younger, and who should be working, maybe blue-collar jobs or white-collar jobs, so...
I don't think these people are even... I don't think they came through our education system. You see, we have to do this root cause analysis properly. And if we don't do the root cause analysis properly, we won't get the result. Because it's like you go to a doctor and you just tell the doctor you're sick, and the doctor asks you what is wrong with you, and you say you're sick. The doctor says, what is wrong with you? If you can't tell the doctor what is wrong with you, he probably is going to use one or two things to consult, to conduct a test. You know, you need to start from somewhere. So if he's going to conduct a test, he's going to ask you questions. Are you having headaches? Are you having stomach upset? Are you having body pain? Are you feeling nauseous? If you answer to those questions, it will help you conduct tests. And then if the tests are conducted in the way they are supposed to conduct them, the results will come and show you near correctness, near accurate issue that is wrong with you. Do you get what I'm saying? So that is what we should be doing. So we can't say because we have an experiment, insecurity is increased. No, I don't think they are the same.
It's an exclusive.
Containing this statement. I think we need to just identify what our problem is exactly. And our problem is we are not producing, we are not managing. We have the Institute of Policy and Research. What are they doing there? We have National Orientation Agency. What are they doing there? We have the Federal Institute of Industrial Research. What are they doing there? We have Ministry of Agriculture. What are they doing there? We have Ministry of Information. We have Nigerian Bureau of Statistics. What are they doing there? We need to look at all of these.
Yeah, we need to look at all of this, but these things you mentioned, they will need young hands to work in those places, right? They'll need fresh graduates. Yes. They'll need those that have been out of school. I mean, within a certain productive age, I think it was 15 to 38, or let's say 15 to 40. And we have a large population within this age bracket that are not gainfully employed, right? So if there's no employment, what are they doing? How are they surviving? And you know, there is inflation. It's been on for some years now. I mean, let's even go back to 2020 and how COVID hit. And how many people who were supporting other people could no longer even support themselves. So there was a wake-up call to certain people that you're not as wealthy as you think that you are. You're not even rich. You're a very poor person. You know, you just have better opportunities maybe. So from 2020 a lot has changed globally, yeah, but Nigeria, you know, like you said, peculiar situation. So if all these people who had helpers no longer have helpers, people have to be dropped from jobs. And even, let's leave the bandits alone. In other states and other local government areas, we still have crime going on, right? So if these people that are within this productive age are not gainfully employed, what are they doing?
Exactly, maybe we're just saying the same thing in a different way. What I'm saying is that if we're looking at Nigeria, we're looking at state and federal and local government, you know, and that is why we need to localize our problems. If you look at states around you, if you look at what they are doing, okay, if a government is going to provide employment now, what kind of employment is the state government going to provide? Mm. We're going to provide employment. Is first and foremost, let's have people engage first for production.
Okay.
You don't just create an office. You don't build a house or you build an edifice and say office of the manager, office of the caretaker, office of the marketing director. To do what? We have to go into production. Production of what we need. And what are those things? We need food. We need food. First and foremost, we need food. We need infrastructure. So we need to get our effort towards what we need first as a nation, so that when we are satisfied locally, you can begin to now create all of those aesthetics and all of that. You can now begin to talk. If you're creating technology, for example, to solve Nigerian problem in terms of population, you want to look at, okay, health delivery. If you want to look at health delivery, how can we provide employment in health sector? We have a lot of people who cannot access medical facilities or health facilities. So what do? We begin, because we don't have money, we borrow money to provide health facilities. We do construction. When you do construction, you engage people. The locals in that area get engaged. People who are ready to work, maybe as mason or as preclear or as project managers or as estate surveyor, you begin to engage them. So you provided something for them to feed on. So if the project is 1 year, if the project is 2 years, you can say that in 2 years, you're going to take maybe 30,000 people in this area to be engaged for the next 2 years. If you're paying them 30,000, you say 30,000 times 30,000 people times 12 months times 2 years. You can begin to look at the numbers. Then you come to the city, you say, okay, we have infrastructure deficit in terms of transport. Okay, we want to provide vehicles to be commuting people from one point to the other. We need 30,000. Okay, you know that you now have 30,000 drivers. Even if you're going to borrow money, you're going to borrow money to take people off the street. So you have 30,000 people. Yes, you know that you're borrowing money, but this money is channeled into productive endeavors. It is not you now have social media assistants, false social media assistants. You now have you say you have provided employment. You now have 8 people or 10 people in a pickup that are going to take pineapple and pawpaw from people because you want to clean the street. But see, that is not employment because they are doing nothing. Sometimes is why I don't like talking in the public, because it looks as if you just want to discredit some person. But it is simple arithmetic.
Well, reality cannot be denied. It is what it is. People don't have jobs. And those that have jobs are under a lot of pressure to take care of those that do not have. All right, let's take some calls and comments at this time. 0817923003, 0817923003, 0817923009 are the numbers to call. The Oluwari has said the level of youth unemployment is worse than a time bomb waiting to explode. Do you agree with that, or you think that perhaps not as bad as, you know, he has made it sound? Perhaps there's still something that is happening that should give younger people hope. Why wouldn't unemployment go higher if the governor of the state did not create jobs throughout his tenure? Is that not worse than unemployment situation, whereas civil servants are retiring on a monthly basis and no replacement? Ogu or gender justice? The Oluwari just said it right in respect to unemployment. This has caused high security challenges in Nigeria. Okay, you can just answer without campaigning for a candidate. And you know, Tunde, we have many people who have said that Nigeria, I mean, the incoming government will solve some of these problems. Do you see that happening?
I actually don't think we have the capacity. With what is currently ongoing, I don't think we're working towards solving our problems. So that's my worry, you know. And then we behave like we don't have problems. So most times we say go to America. Then you go to America, you import the solution. It's not going to work for us. So I think. We should be asking questions. Everybody that wants to lead, everybody that wants to govern, everybody that wants to be a politician or as a public office holder, we need to actually ask them questions. And this is not about what are you going to do for me. It is about how. It is about when. It is about through what. You know, we need to ask simple, sincere, straight questions. And if they can't answer us, I don't think they should be there. That is the first thing we're going to do. As for whether we're going to do that, I don't know how to answer that. And honestly, I don't know how to answer that.
All right, let's take some more comments here. We've got Clement Ajubes says the rate's about 90%. That's not fair at all. That's leading to stealing, fraud, and fake life. Ah, interesting. Youth unemployment is not something to write home about. Our so-called leaders are more than wicked. They're not there to end our suffering. Rather, they're there to increase it. Says, by God's grace, 2023, we shall correct our mistakes. Chimo, send that in. Ovuna Dickland is watching from Ebonyi State, says, the rate of unemployment is increasing every day due to lack of enabling environments, such as creating job opportunities, insecurity and lack of skill acquisition centers, as it is supposed to be provided by those at helm of affairs of government. And Adi Oji, of course, he says, the rate of unemployment is a gunpowder. So Tunde, they say there are no jobs, but we have a lot of young people who are now engaging in all levels of fraud. I mean, the AFCC alone in Port Harcourt last week arrested about 100 young people. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, like I said, if government is not providing jobs, people need to find a means to meet their needs. Unfortunately, some people have decided to take the negative route to meeting their needs. And of course, where you have laws and order, you have to apply them. So if they are caught, they can give all of those excuses. You have a plethora of them and say, okay, the reason why you went into crime is because government didn't provide jobs, which is a valid reason, but that doesn't negate the fact that you'll be jailed. So people need to understand that. The other thing is that there are also people, young people, you know, who have decided to find job for themselves, you know, who have decided to employ themselves. So what government needs to do is to encourage them. Like I said, if somebody has decided to say, for example, every old people in my area, I want to start teaching them English and mathematics or English and arithmetic, you know, just to say adult education. So that person has decided to provide a job for himself. So let's say those people can now say, we want to be paying you for what you want to be doing, or they are not able to pay. The guy might need an office space. So all of these warehouses on the on Amadi, on Transmadi, on Pidaodili, everywhere that are not being in use, that are just being conveyed and converted into personal property, can we provide that as a grant? You don't have to give them money. Can we provide that as a grant? Can we provide hubs for people to converge? You know, instead of them now looking for money to pay rent, they have ideas. They have things going on in their mind, but they need a place where they can practice. They need a place where they can push into the market. Things they need. The people are developing apps. People are developing technology. People are doing little things in a great way. Can we provide support for them? You don't have to give them money. You can give them a rebate. You can help them to register their businesses. You can provide them a space. You can provide them internet. You can provide them, maybe if you want to work and provide solution, we can provide you transport from Element Junction to town for free, because this
free,
is
free, free buses. Okay.
See, the thing is not a wild thing. It's just, let's sit down and look at how we can make this country, make this state, make this local government, make this council, make this world a better place.
All right.
It's not just, I don't know.
All right. Thank you very much, Tunde Bello, for your time.
Thank you.
It's not just talk. It's not rocket science. It's something that can be done. My guest, business analyst Tunde Bello, has said. Thank you for joining the conversation. My name is Eno Ogbeviri. I hope that the solutions will begin to see, even if it's, similitude of them, just, seeming like somebody's thinking of how to solve the problems in the long term and in the short term. Good morning.